D. Mace Vingand and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mace, and Adam Vingand. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who is live in Atlanta. He is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Hello, Teron. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really well, man. I'm trying to keep myself from throwing a delay of game flag on you guys, man. What's going on?
Sorry about that. Sometimes we just get worked up and we talk a little bit too much, but that is the magic of live radio. But you're here with us now, so we are happy
about
that.
That's right.
So, Teron, in the first segment, we played a clip from Jeffrey Simmons based on your question after practice about the sluggish starts that the Titans have had in joint practices with Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Jeffrey Simmons was not the only player to mention that, of course. Simmons also mentioned that the slow starts doomed the Titans last season. So when you hear players complain about that sort of thing, we're all looking for somebody to blame, right? So who is most responsible? Is it coaching? Is it talent? Is it leadership? Is it some combination? What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think each guy has to look within themselves. And one of the things I like that Jeff said is, like, it's professional football. You don't need to all the rah-rah and all that stuff. And, you know, Cameron Ward has said that before, too. If I have to motivate you at this level, you're probably not in the right business. So really it's just a inner, hey, what can I do to motivate myself and make sure that I'm ready to play? And I think that's just what has to happen, self-reflection on each individual part.
So, Teron, in your lengthy notes on X from practice, you mentioned Cam Ward was intercepted twice. And I believe on the first one, you wrote, quote, Ward got picked off, didn't see the defender lurking in zone, end quote. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is something that you have noticed over the course of training camp practices when it comes to Cam Ward. What are you seeing from Ward on those throws that might be throwing him off?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like in this case, he didn't see that defender lurking there. And sometimes, you know, things just go fast. But then it's also like, okay, how many of these are throws that he admittedly is feeling out and trying to see what he could get away with? So it's a combination of the two. The two interceptions, I mean, the second one, you know what? He put the ball in a spot. Alec Ironmaner ran a slant. He put it in the spot. A.J. Terrell, and this is something that Calvin Ridley said after practice, you know, like, that other team is good too, and those guys make plays, and everybody expects football to be perfect and every pass to be completed. It's not going to. And again, like, I'm not excusing, I'm just explaining, and in this case, paraphrasing what Ridley said. So that second interception, it got punched in the air. A.J. Terrell is a really good corner, and Jesse Bates is a safety that just has a magnet for the football. He corralled the tip pass that flew up in the air, and it was a pick. And, you know, these things happen. I'm not saying to panic. I'm not saying to overreact to touchdowns that he throws either. I think it's just you just got to take it in stride and understand that there are ebbs and flows in practice, especially with a rookie quarterback.
Now, TD, the one position that we have been talking about, but in a good way, especially after the first preseason game, is the offensive line. And it seems like the offensive line, once again, seems to be trending upward, which is a good thing considering what we've seen over the last two and a half seasons. How did they look today? Were they a part of the sluggishness?
Not necessarily. I think they held up well. There weren't a lot of pressures. They ran right at James Pierce a couple times and moved him up out of the paint. So that's something to kind of hang your hat on. Ward, for the most part, had time. There were a couple covered sacks. There was one, actually, and that's where Brandon Allen, somehow he got cut, had to go in for stitches. So I think overall the line did well. They were run blitzing, right? There's a guy named Josh Woods, a linebacker, number 42 on the Falcons. I can't wait to watch him on Friday because this dude has really showed himself to be a player today in what I saw. So, I mean, look, they did a good job overall. I think the O-line is something that this team is going to actually be able to hang their hat on and feel that, you know, they always have a shot going in because of them.
Now, should we be alarmed about this secondary? Because they got carved up in the first game pretty much. There was some plays made by Bronley Jr., but it seemed like you know, Tampa was able to get some things through there. And based on what I'm hearing today, it wasn't any different, that the Atlanta Falcons and an offense pretty much had their way with the secondary. So is this something that we need to truly be concerned about?
Yes. I think there should be concern about the secondary, and it's about time it gets addressed, right? Because you look at Daryl Baker Jr. last year, I thought he was a pretty good player, and I still think he's a good player. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is what he is. But it's just after those guys and Roger McCreary, I think that's where you have some questions. And, you know, for me, I look at a guy like a Quincy Riley out of Louisville. He went to MTSU for a moment, too, and it's just like, that's somebody that should be on this roster. He passed him after Jair Alexander. He's already got two picks down there in New Orleans. I think he should have been a draft pick. And they had him in the building. So you have that. It's tough sledding. But then also you look at the way they set things up. Zach Robinson, the OC from the Falcons, I thought his play design was really good. So we know Bijan Robinson is always going to attract the attention of linebackers, right? So they would take Drake London and have him on a close split, and they'll either line up Robinson outside of him or they'll motion him outside of him. And what happens? Cody Barton is taken out of the play. Who is their best hook zone defender? Cody Barton. So what would they do? Bijan will run a route. Barton will go with Bijan Robinson, and London will run an in-breaking route, and you got a 6'5 guy able to get positioning, and Penix, you know, could put it on the money, and that's how they were making a lot of their plays today. Now, granted, Amani Hooker, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it seemed like he was late getting over on a post that Penix threw to Casey Washington for a really long touchdown. So, I mean, look, they got to get it together. This team doesn't have a pass rusher up front that could help them and speed things up. So it's not going to look too good for this secondary if it remains the way this is.
Tron Davenport is with us. We're talking about the Titans here during their camp there in Atlanta as they practice against the Falcons. So, Tron, just based on Brian Callahan's tone and the words he used when he was asked about L'Jarius Sneed, he didn't sound too optimistic about a timetable or getting him back anytime soon. What is your read on Sneed? Because based on what you just said about the secondary, they obviously could use him, but I'm starting to be concerned myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think there should be some concern. I'd be surprised if he's here, you know, after this year, because, you know, next year they could cut ties, and I think it's only like $8 million. But, I mean, look, I watched him come out today. He grabbed his cleats and he worked inside. I have no clue when he's going to be back. I mean, it's two injuries, right? Like, you got the – well, I don't know. I would say the cleanup is more like hurt, where he, I would imagine, would be able to play on that, but I don't know. You know, he's still on PUP. There's no time. Like, the head coach doesn't know. I for sure don't.
So when you factor that in, they are the number one team on the waiver wire. Do you think it's reasonable that there will be a corner brought in using that position that they have at some point?
I would expect it to be the case. Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's all depends on, you know, who comes available. But, you know, I think, like, after roster cutdown, I mean, there's usually some guys that are pretty solid that come open, and I could see it. I mean, look at Daryl Baker last year. So I could see that being the case.
So, Teron, you mentioned Penix, right? This is an interesting track, right? They decided to wait. It was a pretty outside-the-box thinking by the Falcons to bring in Cousins and then draft Penix. But here's Penix looking good at the end of last year. He's now the starter this year. How did he look to you, and what are you hearing about what they did right with his development process?
Yeah, I think it just pretty much is one of those things where you got an established veteran and you want to put your guy in an incubator, so to speak, and let him come along. Penix played a lot of football in college, so that's not to say he wasn't ready. It's just they had a $100 million quarterback in front of him, that they, you know, went ahead and rolled with. But then it got to a point where he wasn't himself. So it's not like, you know, they just suddenly put him, Penix, out there. Kirk Cousins never truly recovered from that Achilles, and he was already not the most mobile guy anyway. So there were a lot of issues involving that, and I think they've done it the right way. Penix looked solid today. I mean, there were some things that they were able to do to confuse him and make him pat the ball and you know, run out about, like, run or throw it away. So I think overall he's going to be a solid quarterback for them.
Do you think Trevor Siemian will push Brandon Allen for the backup job eventually?
I think so, man. He actually came out today and impressed me, right? Brandon Allen went out. He came right in. He hit like four straight, man. And, you know, a couple of them were high percentage throws, but just to be able to get out there and get on that streak after, you know, in your first practice, your first reps, I thought was good. Siemian looked solid to me.
Teron, before we let you go, speaking of the secondary, can you provide some clarity on Kevin Winston Jr.? He hasn't been practicing lately. We know he's coming back from ACL surgery, but what is the plan for him over the next couple of weeks and the big picture approach for him as the regular season nears?
Yeah, so it's more of a management thing. They want to make sure that they don't have him out there too early. It's like weighing risk versus reward. To them, the reward right now to have him out there, it doesn't outweigh the risk of him, you know, re-injuring or having something tweaked or anything like that. Remember, I mean, look, ACL, even though guys come back from it so quickly, it's still a major surgery. And so you're going to have some post-surgery soreness, five padded practices in 6 days. You know, it was a lot for him. And I think the young man, he wanted to push it and see what he could do, and the team allowed him to do so. And now it's time to reel it back in a little bit. Big picture is to have him at some point during the season, not at some point, to have him ready for the season as opposed to, you know, rolling him out there and having him risk an injury. And I think when you look at it, they want him to get those mental reps and go about it that way. And he's here. I talked to him a bit before practice. He said he feels good. And that's pretty much what it is. But, I mean, look, like, you're going to – don't be surprised if at some point, like, he emerges as a starter, you know, in his defense this year. And if he's not a starter, he's going to get a high percentage of reps also.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us live from Atlanta. Teron is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Teron, great stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy Atlanta. We'll talk next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
You as well. Teron Davenport on the program, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. 615-737-1025. We will all react, you can as well, to what Teron Davenport had to say about Titans practice today against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll do that next at 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their Lucky 13 anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos. What's a live tattoo? Live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, balloon art game, and, of course, ice cold beer. Get a $100 gift card half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company.